That's what Brother Patrick told us this morning when he spoke at the sunrise service, that all the honor and the glory is due unto the Lord, that he deserves all of it, and he does. And you know, I believe that there are things that happen when God is glorified. I believe when God is glorified, his people get edified, and lost sinners seeking the Lord can get satisfied. And if you're here today and you're lost, you don't have to leave here in that condition, because there is a living Savior. He's sitting at the right hand of his Heavenly Father, and he's making intercession for our prayers. And, you know, man has not been able to go directly to God since Adam's transgression, since the fall of man. But the Bible says there is one God and one mediator between men and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And we can we have access to God through him. And you have access today to eternal life. You know, the one that can save you and give you eternal life. And I just hope that, as Brother Mike said this morning, I hope if you're here and you're lost, that you'll think on those things, that you can be saved. I want to ask for your prayers. I want to read some scripture, actually from a couple of different places, but I want to begin today in the Gospel according to John in chapter 20, and begin reading at verse 19. John chapter 20, beginning with the 19th verse. It says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now that's reading from John chapter 20, verse beginning with verse 19 and completing that chapter. This was an account of Jesus appearing to his disciples after that he had been crucified and after he had risen from the dead. He appeared unto his disciples, and we have read, I've read in this, and you've heard in this, how that Thomas said he just was not going to believe that he had risen, even though the Lord had been telling them that he would do that. Thomas said he just wasn't going to believe unless he could actually touch and feel the wounds that Jesus sustained from being on the cross, and the Lord allowed him to do that. Now, if we look in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, in the first three verses, it says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Now listen to verse 3. It says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Now one more place. If we look in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, beginning with verse 3, he said, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now listen. "And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." And so we have here in these three places that I have read from John chapter 20, Acts chapter 1, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have scripture here concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only that he did rise from the dead, but that he proved that he had done that. He appeared to many, and the Lord, after that he had risen from the dead, he did not depart immediately. He did not ascend back to heaven immediately. We're told there in the first chapter of Acts of him being seen of people for 40 days. And so there was some time that passed. You know, according to the Jewish calendar, he was that was almost a month and a half after that his resurrection had taken place. And so I love what we are told there in Acts chapter 1, that after that the Lord had been crucified and after he had risen, that he proved himself. He showed himself to be alive by many infallible proofs. And we have read of some of them here in these verses that have been read before you. Now, if you look in the 27th chapter of Matthew, the chief priest and the Pharisees upon the Lord's crucifixion, they came to Pilate. And they said, they called him a deceiver, but now Jesus was not a deceiver. Jesus was the truth and the only way to eternal life. But they called him a deceiver when they came before Pilate. And they said, you know, we we heard this deceiver say while he was yet living that after he was dead that he would rise again. And so they wanted Pilate to give them the charge to go and to secure the tomb, to even to set a watch there, because they said they believed that his disciples would come and try to trick everybody and steal his body away and then go around and tell everybody that he had risen. And so Pilate gave them the authority to do that, to go and to secure the tomb and even to set a watch. But, the Lord took away all opportunity for them to be able to accuse the disappearance of his body, having been nothing more than his disciples just coming and taking him away, because he proved that he was alive. He appeared to many, and he proved that he was alive. And I'm here to tell you with all gladness of heart that he's still alive today. Once he rose from the dead, he was and has been alive ever since his resurrection. Jesus said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive." What? Evermore. And so he gathered with his 11 disciples. A cloud received him out of their sight, and he ascended back to heaven to be with God, and to enjoy the glory that he had with him before the world was. And he is alive today. And that makes me really happy, that the Lord is alive. But he proved himself. And that's what I really want to speak about today, that the Lord proved his resurrection. If he would not have done that, just suppose that if the Lord would have resurrected and never did anything, if he would have resurrected and just ascended back without anybody ever seeing him after his resurrection, then they would have been running all over the place saying, "See, we told you, his disciples just took his body and took it away. Nobody has seen him. Nobody has actually seen him risen from the dead." But as I said, Jesus did not give them that opportunity. He appeared to them, and he even showed to Thomas that he still had the marks of the cross in his body. He still had the prints of the nails in his hand. He still had the wound in his side. And I don't know exactly what you believe about it, but I believe that he still has them today. And I believe that he will have them for all of eternity, that there will be evidence, even when we have left this world and gone to heaven, that we will have eternal evidence that he died for our sins, that we'll always see the marks of the cross, that he'll always bear them before us. But he proved over and over and over that he was alive. Now, Jesus, the Bible teaches us, you all pray for me today, I just want to follow the Lord. The Bible teaches us that when Jesus rose from the dead, that he became the first fruits of them that slept. And it's through him that we one day will experience that same thing. Jesus has the keys to hell and death. When he came out of the grave, he had all authority over death, hell, and the grave. And without that, without his resurrection, the grave would have been an awful place. I mean, it would have been a cold, dark place that would have subdued our bodies and kept them there forever. But with Jesus and his resurrection, I'll tell you what he did for those of us who are saved. He went and spent the time that was scheduled. He went and spent that time in the grave. And on scheduled time, he got up from the grave. And the grave to you and I today that know the Lord is nothing more than a place for our bodies to wait for the resurrection. That's all that it is. It has no dominion over us at all. But in the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to John, in verse 28, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth." You know, Brother Mike, in the Sunday school lesson this morning, he mentioned Brother Moore quite a bit. You know, I went out there to Lover's Lane, to that funeral home, and I saw the body of Brother Junior Moore laying there in a coffin, and now it has been placed in the ground. And I know that this is hard to imagine with the carnal mind of man, but listen, the day is coming when Brother Moore one day will hear the voice of the Lord, and all of us, Jesus said, the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And what will we do? And shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And friends, that's not talking about having done good works. That's talking about having made good by the blood of Jesus Christ. They that have made good by the blood of Christ will come forth unto eternal life, and they that haven't unto the resurrection of eternal damnation. But I want to speak today for a little while to the Lord's church, to those of us here today that have been saved, because we know this. We know that from the teachings of God's word, we know that what we have within our hearts, what the Lord put there when he saved us, that we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. But the Word of God tells us that's earnest. That is the earnest of our inheritance. That's the down payment. That's the earnest money, if you will. Redemption of the purchased possession is one day coming. The body has not yet undergone the change that it's going to have to undergo. And so one day, as the Apostle Paul said in his writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, one day this mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will be incorruptible and will be raised and will be changed. We will undergo one day a bodily resurrection. I believe I've shared this with the church before, but a man that was my pastor years ago at Fellowship Church there in Indianapolis, Brother Calvin Perrigo, he would pass by a cemetery, and he was known to say, "That's not really a cemetery, that's nothing but a resurrection site." And that's what's going to take place there one day. All of those that have been members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church through the years, that their bodies are laid aside nearby here in a cemetery, they're waiting the resurrection one day, because Jesus made it possible when he rose from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. And so we know that's coming. But we are already risen. Those who are saved are already risen. Christ is alive within us. And if you look at Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul spoke of that in writing to the saints at Colossae. In Colossians chapter 3, he said, He was writing to people that were living right then, and he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so those who have been saved, we have died to sin, but we have been made alive unto God. We are risen with Christ right now. And you know, the thought that the Lord placed upon my heart today is that we need to, as God's people, just as Jesus, after that he had risen from the dead, just as he had proven by many infallible proofs that he was indeed alive from the dead, we need to prove the life that's in us. As God's people, we need to give evidence of that, that we do indeed belong to the Lord. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the church at Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, and you hath he quickened. Now, you know, we may say today, when we think about the bodily resurrection, when we think about the time that's coming when we will be raised in the bodily resurrection and we'll be given a new body and we'll be changed in the way that we'll be changed then, we may think of that and we may say, well, I can't really imagine such a thing as that. My corpse laying there maybe for a long time and actually being raised and be given a new body, I can't imagine such a thing as that. But all I can say is think about your salvation experience. We've already experienced the power of the Lord's resurrection, haven't we? We're already risen with Christ. You hath he quickened who what? Who were dead in trespasses and in sins. We were dead. We within, we were void of life. We were separated from God by sin and trespasses. And Christ quickened us. He made us alive. He brought us from death unto life. And when he saved us, we underwent that spiritual resurrection in that we have now been made alive forever. Amen. Jesus, when he went to the tomb of Lazarus and he told Martha, he said, your brother, he'll rise again. And she said, well, I know that he will, Lord, at the resurrection, at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That part of us that God has regenerated, that soul that he has brought from death unto life, it is alive forever. We have eternal life. And, you know, we need to prove. We need to prove by many proofs that we are indeed the children of God. Let me tell you this. A person, and I believe this, a person that has been saved can choose to live their life like they were never changed. I don't recommend it. And you can get in big trouble with God for doing it. But you can. You can choose to live your life in disobedience to God. You know, there are things that since the Lord saved us, there are things that he has commanded us, and there are things that he expects of us. And when we were saved and we came before the church and we gave our testimony of salvation. We were giving a public profession of what had taken place within us, and with our baptism we signified that we were going to live differently, that we were going to walk in newness of life. And you know, we have a responsibility to live up to that, to live up to that profession that we have made. And friends, listen, that includes a lot of things. That includes praying for others. That includes attending the house of God. That includes letting our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Listen, the people of this world ought to be able to look at us, and they ought to be able to know by our actions and by the way that we live, by what the Bible often calls our conversation or the life that we live from day to day. People ought to know that we're different. If you have to tell somebody that you're a Christian, something's not right. It ought to be proven. They ought to be able to see it in our lives from day to day. And, you know, that's what Jesus wanted his church to do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, I want to go back for a moment to what we professed in all of this when we came before a body of people and we made a public profession that God had saved us, and that we were baptized, we were put into the water, and we were buried in the water, symbolizing that we had died to sin. And we were brought out of the water, showing that we were going to live our lives differently, that we were not going to follow sin anymore, that we were going to walk in newness of life. I talked to one of my preacher brothers a couple of years ago, and he said some fella had come before their church and joined the church and was baptized, and that's the last time they saw him. Well, that don't prove much, does it? That just doesn't prove much. You know, the Lord didn't save us for us to just go back out into the world and separate ourselves from God and separate ourselves from His people. He didn't save us for that. He saved us to be His witnesses. He saved us that we might warn others to flee the wrath to come. And so we need to prove, you know, I think about oftentimes what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy concerning his ministry. He told him to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He told Timothy, make full proof of thy ministry. And I think about that a lot, and I pray to God that I will be able to prove my ministry. And we should prove our salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Unto good works. And Paul said, God has before ordained. He didn't just suggest it, did he? God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Listen, I want to encourage you today. If you want to take this as a rebuke, then just please take it in love. But I want to encourage you today, those of you, you younger Christians here today, I want to encourage you to make attendance at the house of God part of your life. You need that. You don't need to cut yourself off from that. You don't need to separate yourself from that. Listen, this world is full of wolves. And the Bible talks about those that are wolves in sheep's clothing. And there is bad things out there in the world. There's things that are going to challenge you and things are going to try you. And you need to be with the fold. You need to stay with the sheep. There's strength in this. When we gather ourselves together, we gain strength from each other. Listen, friends, you need this. You need this. If you separate yourself from the flock, then you're a prey to the wolves. Stay with us. We'll do you good. Come with us. We'll do you good. You need to live your life before your friends like you professed. Amen? Amen. That's what we need to do. That's how we prove that we are the children of God. We prove it by the works that the Lord ordained us to do. That's what Jesus said. Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Live like you've been risen. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Philippians, he spoke about the bodily resurrection, and he said, I know in that, he said, I know that I haven't attained to it yet, but I follow after. You know, I want you to go and read those verses there in Philippians where Paul spoke about that. And I want to tell you what I believe that he was actually saying there. I believe that Paul was saying was though he realized that he had not yet been bodily resurrected and made completely perfect, he was trying to live already like he had been. He knew he wouldn't accomplish it. He knew he had not yet attained, but he wanted to live like he'd already been resurrected. And listen, we all know that we still have this corruptible nature of Adam. Even after we've been saved, we have this corruptible nature of Adam, and we're not going to get rid of it until we put it away in death. But it's not an excuse for us to willfully sin. It's not for us to just say, well, I know I can't be perfect, so I won't even try. Live your life, those of you who that have been saved, live your life for the Lord. And when you're old and gray and your body is hurting and you're about ready to go to the grave, you won't regret it. You won't regret having lived your life for the Lord. I believe Brother Herschel Lowe today would tell you that he's thankful that he had the privilege to serve all these years as a deacon in the Lord's church. I believe, I'm confident that he would testify that he doesn't regret his walk with the Lord. And many others of our older saints here will tell you today the same thing I'm telling you. Live for God. You won't regret it. If you live for the world, you will. If you live your life for the world, you will. If you live your life for the devil, you're going to regret it. And to be honest with you, and that's what I'm trying, I'm not trying to say something that'll scare you, but to be honest with you, a child of God that just goes and lives their life for the devil, you may not be living long. You just may not be living long. The chastening hand of God is real. It's real. Jesus rose from the dead, and he proved it. We've been risen from the dead if we've been saved, and we need to prove it. We need to prove day after day that we are indeed the children of God. Brother Strobe, thank you for your attention.
Number 188.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to
rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christians, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who serve Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives. Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Thank you, Brother Strode.